This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. When her newborn daughter was placed in her arms, Carolyn Walker sensed something was wrong. Whatever it was, however, she found in the next instant she had what it would take to deal with this. One look, and she was in love with little Jennifer. The years ahead would never be easy, but always worthwhile. Walker explains Rubenstein-Tabe syndrome.
When she was diagnosed, it was what they called clinical diagnosis, like they diagnosed based on the symptoms. There was no test. Now there's a test. But it's a conglomeration of features, facial features, jointless thumbs, and then various body problems, you know, knee problems. Some children have heart problems. She didn't, thank goodness. Some have spinal problems. And varying degrees of mental retardation. There are some children who are very profoundly disabled, and there are others lesser so. And my daughter sort of falls in the middle there.
When Jennifer was born and you first learned that something's not right, I think probably any parent facing a childbirth, that's got to be the main fear, that you're going to be dealing with a birth defect. How did you find the strength? What did you tap into?
My faith, I would say. I'm a Christian, and part of it was that. And part of it was just, you know, I was afraid when the doctor came in and told me there might be problems. But honestly, I took one look at her and fell in love, and that's the truth. And after that, and you do what you have to do. I wanted her to have the best quality life that she could have. And so I started on the parade of doctors to fix what could be fixed, and speech therapists and physical therapists and all that. I just did what I felt I had to do to give her a quality life.
The doctor didn't immediately know what you were facing, did he?
No.
How rare is it? Do you know?
Well, when she was born, there were 200 known cases in the world.
That's it.
Yeah. But now on Facebook, there's over 1,000 members, so I'm assuming that there's at least 1,000 cases. I think it's still considered pretty rare, but there are more known cases. At the time she was born, it was often misdiagnosed as Down syndrome. Yeah, it took us a good year or more to get the diagnosis.
And I'm kind of skipping ahead here towards the end of the book, but what causes it? You found this out only much later.
Yes, I only actually found it out maybe a year ago on Facebook. There's two types, which I didn't know. It has to do with a protein, the Krebs-binding protein, but beyond that, I couldn't tell you if it's a missing protein or, you know, something went wrong with the protein. It's, you know, I didn't think of it as hereditary, although if a child with a woman with Rubenstein-Tabe syndrome has a baby, she does have a, as I understand it, a 50% chance of having a child with the syndrome. So there's some kind of a genetic link there. At this point in my life, it just doesn't matter to me what the cause is. It mattered very much when she was little.
Well, that was interesting because there were moments in your book, a lot of it is about the struggles that both you and your daughter and your husband, the whole family,
right,
that you face. But there are these moments that you seem to look at your daughter and think, you know, I love her just the way she is. There's something about her happiness, her acceptance of life. She's a very exuberant personality that you like it just like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It didn't take long. She's a delightful, wonderful person. And in many ways, you know, I hate to think of people good or bad, better or worse, but she's sort of an ideal in my mind of how people should be because she doesn't have any prejudices, none at all. She doesn't care what color you are, what gender you are, how old you are. None of that matters to her.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. Jennifer wasn't Walker's only child. She had two others to raise. Walker talks about the effects of bullying.
It's a terrible problem. And in my son's case, it was just so destructive. I had to change his school. But for 6 months, he came home and cried every night. And because he has Asperger's, he takes things literally. So if somebody says you're ugly, then you're ugly.
Yeah.
Or if somebody says you're stupid,
he buys into
then
that.
You're stupid. Yeah, his whole self-esteem is dictated by people outside of himself. And that's been a hard lesson for me to tell him because he's a wonderful person. Started when he was about 12. It's interesting because he didn't know he was gay. Everybody else figured it out. And, of course, kids picked on him about that. It was a terrible, terrible time in his life. I had to take him to counseling. I had to change his school. And even then, he still encountered it. He still encounters it today.
And today he's 30 years old?
He's 30 years old, but he's an eccentric kind of a person. It's sad that society doesn't have more tolerance for people who are different in, you know, all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
Racially, ethnically, sexually, all of it.
And in inwardly ways, like you said, that we may not be able to see right away.
Right.
And, you know, you got to give people a chance.
There are a lot of people, I suspect. There's a lot of people with Asperger's or more severe forms of autism. But I suspect there's a lot of people walking around who have what I would call invisible disabilities. Perhaps a mental illness, maybe epilepsy. Who knows?
Or PTSD, as you mentioned.
Or PTSD. Yeah. And it just seems like our society, I hate to bring that into it, but it just seems like the current state of our society is so angry and no patience with anybody. And if you're different, you're afraid of you or afraid you're going to take something or you're going to get their job or whatever it is. And it's too bad because, in my opinion, diversity makes us a better place, not a lesser place. Maybe there was a slave sometime in our history who could have cured cancer. Instead, he was a slave.
The talent and skills we've wasted.
All the things we lose because we can't see past our prejudices.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have an essay called Christian Becomes a Blur, and it's online on the Kresge Foundation's site. It details how he dovetailed from a good student, a happy student, and with a lot of friends into a crisis based on bullying. It happened to come at puberty, so that made it hard. But that's what that's about. He was eventually diagnosed with OCD and ADD and Asperger's. He had, you know, a whole ream of diagnoses. He never really got over it. He's better, but he really never got over it. And there's a lot of young people, gay people, there's straight people also. A lot of gay people are killing themselves over this kind of thing.
The suicide rate among gays is much higher.
I mean, I think my son sometimes thinks he's not a strong person, but I think he's a very strong person because he's still persevering in sight of that. And I don't think I'm overstating how things are for gay teens. I really don't.
How do you find balance, or do you find balance as a parent when you've got one or two children who demand more attention because they're facing more than the average challenges?
I dealt with it with guilt. I don't think I ever really found balance. It's sort of, with Jennifer, there was such urgency with her all the time. And my poor daughter, Holly, who is a gifted college professor at this point in her life, she just, I don't want to say she got shoved to the wayside, but I think it was hard for her. She didn't complain. But I sometimes look at the three of them and wonder if Holly actually didn't have it the hardest of anybody.
Because she got the least attention.
Yep. And she has said to me that she feels like the black sheep in the family because she's normal, which I think is a fascinating comment.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Carolyn Walker, the author of Every Least Sparrow. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation and about how Jennifer is doing today. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.